William Shakespeare said, "Love all, trust a few, do wrong to none."
Sophocles said, "One word frees us of all the weight and pain of life. That word is love." Peter Ustinov said, "Where love is, no room is too small." Love is an act of endless forgiveness, a tender look which becomes a habit. It is one of the most difficult things to define. While I was growing up in Athens, Greece, I would almost hear daily, and my wife was sharing with me the other day, "Oh yeah, that, I used to hear it in Alexandria, Egypt, when the Greek radio, or at least the Greeks would be singing it." And it has been recorded on my memory chip in such a way that even the tune comes back. The words were, "Τι είναι αυτό που το λένε αγάπη?" You see, the lady agrees. It says, "Τι είναι αυτό που το λένε αγάπη, τι είναι αυτό, τι είναι αυτό που σε κάνει να λες το σκοπό, σ' αγαπώ, σ' αγαπώ, σ' αγαπώ." Which means, what is that that is called love? What is that? What is that makes you sing the words, "I love you, I love you, I love you"? Stella, you know that song, you've heard it. The writer of that song was trying to find and explain what made him feel this powerful thing that was so overwhelming. It was so overwhelming that he could only say, "What is it? What is it that makes me feel the way I feel?" Love, what is it? What is love? And unless you know what love is, you cannot love. How would you love unless you know what love is? So what is the definition of love? You know what? I went on my, I turned on my computer and I checked, what is love? No one had the definition. Everyone had something to say. And most people feel that love is something that you cannot explain it, and yet you feel it. What is love? Is it the power that no one can control? Is it something that happens when two persons are attracted to each other and they cannot be without each other, and they describe this as falling in love? Is it compassion? Is it liking someone so much that nothing else matters? Or is it the result of some kindness shown to you by someone? Is love something emotional, sexual, spiritual, natural? Is it in our DNA? Is love conditional? These are only few of the questions people ask, and professionals have tried to answer and explain, and yet people are still asking, what is love? Gandhi said, "Where there is love, there is life." Iris Murdoch said, "We can only learn to love by loving." Solomon said, "Love covers over all wrongs." Jesus said, "There is no commandment greater than that, than these: love your God and your neighbor as yourself." He also said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Paul said, Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Love is God's plan. The greatest subject in the Bible is love. A subject that affects all people. A subject that has life-changing power. Power to change your attitude. I don't know, I had to struggle all my life to change my attitude in some areas. I really tried very hard not to get angry, not to say this, not to do that. And you know what? I really tried. And I failed every time. So I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I can't do it. Help me love people. And I thought, I got it. And then I started loving more my wife and my children, and yet it didn't work the way I wanted it to work. What is love? I said, love is the power to change your attitude. Then the power to change your marriage. Now, you know what? There are more marriages that are failing today than ever before in the human history. There are more marriages that are failing in the Christian churches. There are more marriages going down the drain because of so many hundreds of different reasons. And when I do counseling, and when a wife comes and talks to me, I hear her. And you know what? She makes a lot of sense. And yet when I speak to the husband, I hear him, and he makes a lot of sense. And then the question is, how can we fix this? Well, the word is love, respect, and everyone has, you know, there are all kinds of articles written about how to fix your marriage. And yet I believe only the love that no one can understand, no one can explain, no one can really demonstrate is the one that will fix that marriage. Power to change the church. Now the church is failing also. And I believe when the marriages start failing, when the personal life is all confused, then the church will fail. Is it the other way around? When the church fails, then the marriage will fail and the personal life will fail? I don't know. Everyone has an opinion. But I believe the church is the place where people in trouble, or people who are happy, or people who want to worship God, get together and worship God together. And yet the church has become a place in general where we come and put a different mask. That's what the Greek word tragedy, tragodia, means. You take a nice looking mask and come to church, and that mask has a smile on it, and you look good, and you go home, and you remove that mask, and you put that sad looking, full of troubles and difficulties mask. Is it a mask or is it reality? I believe what is happening at home is reality. What's happening in the church is a mask. And then you may say, well, what should we do? Should we come in to church with all our problems and difficulties and our sadness? Well, I believe yes. And if the church cannot help you change that, then we must look for this supernatural power that can change that. And the only supernatural power that I know, and the one that changes lives, is God. Power to change your future. You know, your church depends on the present. No matter where you are, you may be very healthy. You may be, well, you may have enough money to not to worry about anything. You may have a nice family. You may have everything you always needed. And yet this is today. The future you don't know. Or you may be very sick. You're going through a difficult period, a period of time with great difficulties, and yet you don't know what the future will bring. I believe these kinds of supernatural love may and will change your life. You say, how can love change my life? I've shared this with many others. I say, unless you start loving what God has created you, you will not be able to love anyone else. Unless you love, I loved Joseph, not the way I think I am, but the way God has made me. And unless I start loving and love the soul He has put in me, and unless I want to take good care of that soul, that will not end up in hell or suffer until that day when God calls me home, then I will take good care of it. Now, when I start taking good care of my soul and I make things right with God and I make peace with God, and that peace, that overwhelming peace and joy will start reflecting in my daily life, and I'll be able to love my spouse, my children, my neighbors. It's very difficult, you say. Yes, it is. That is why we need supernatural help and power. The children who see their parents arguing all the time, and the children who see their parents split up and all kinds of things, have no love left in them to love their parents, many say. And yet when the love of God comes in their heart, these young people will look at their parents and be forgiving and compassionate toward them. God will do it. The parents who look at their kids and they are so discouraged, they are so disappointed, they just don't know how to handle these kids, and they will start loving them the way they are when that supernatural love comes in their life. This power comes from God, who is love. If I were to dissect God, nobody can. If I could try to analyze God, no one can. And yet we'll find that God is made of love. That is why He created us, and He is so patient with us. The Bible is God's love letter to each one of us. God loved us while we were sinners, Romans 8 says. God loved us when we did not love Him, 1 John 4:10 says. God's love sent Jesus to the cross, we see in John 3:16. Jesus loved those who were difficult to love. Jesus was criticized for loving sinners. This morning we heard a few testimonies at the Bible study from those who, when they became believers, when they surrendered their lives to the Lord, and when they started following Christ, they were persecuted, or at least shunned, by their family members. And their family members sort of looked down at them, or even didn't want to talk to them. And this happens very often. And yet, God gives that supernatural love to love even them. And that love eventually will win these people to the Lord, because you are not at work. God is at work through you. When the love of God comes in our hearts, it should then flow through us to others. But how can we recognize the love of Christ in us? Well, Paul presents this love in verses 4 to 8, 1 Corinthians 13. First, love is patient and kind. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I'm not always patient. Or Jean, I don't know about you, but I'm not always patient. We want to be patient. We want to say, yes, dear. And I've been playing this little game with my wife. Whenever I disagree with something, I'll say, yes, dear. And I thought it worked. But the other day she says, will you stop with that? Yes, dear, and say what
you mean?
Well, patience is something that is not necessarily natural. It comes with the help of God. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, does not boast, and is not proud. Oh my goodness, that is very difficult. How can I not say I am the best cook? I'm not the best, I'm the best this. Or how can I forgive someone who insults me by saying, wow, this doesn't taste so good. Or it wasn't bad. Patience and love go together. Love is not jealous, does not boast, and is not proud. Love is not rude and is not selfish. Love is neither touchy nor angry. Love is quick to forgive and does not hold grudges. Love looks for the best in others. I don't know how you deal with grudges, but it is not, again, natural not to hold grudges, or at least not to resent someone who has insulted us or said terrible things to us or has done something bad to us. How can we deal with that? We can't unless God helps us do it. Unless God helps us love our enemies. And again, I've shared this so many times, but I'll share it again. There was a time in our family life that we went through a very difficult period of time. And there were some people who had hurt us. And I didn't want to hear about them, and I didn't want to talk about them or even see them. And then after a while, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, how can you be a Christian and not forgive them and not pray for them? So I decided to start praying for them. And I started praying like this, please, Lord, forgive them. You know, what I was doing them a favor. I was asking God to forgive them. They had hurt my family. So I prayed for a while. It didn't feel good. No, it wasn't working. Then I started praying for me, and I said, help me forgive them. It didn't work. And then I believe I was feeling in my heart this. What if God would ask you to pray and ask Him to bless them? It's not easy. It's not easy. They have hurt my family. They have hurt me. They have stolen the joy from my life. And now God wants me to pray, or at least I feel that I should pray for them to be blessed. So I said, okay. And Lord, bless them. It didn't work because I was thinking in me how to bless them. Okay, spiritually, make them feel that they were wrong. And then the thought came, what if I were asking God to bless them in any way that He wanted them to bless? If it was riches, that's fine. If it was spiritual blessings, that's fine. If it was emotional blessings, that's fine. It was difficult. I had to somehow humble myself to the point of saying, Lord, You're right. Because if they change, if they are blessed, I'm sure their blessings will change them completely and will change me completely. And if we have to become again brothers, that will be a blessing. And you know what? I started praying that way. Now this is a true happening in my life. And then after a few months, someone came and dropped a letter in our mailbox here. It was one of the leaders. And he was confessing that he had sinned. He has hurt my family. And he was apologizing. Then we received a phone call, right? We received a phone call by someone who was saying that, you know, things didn't work out well and they were apologizing. God is a living God who hears prayers, and all God wants from us is our willingness to humble ourselves and ask Him to give us that supernatural love. How can you love a daughter and a son who have been doing drugs and have been stealing from you and have been cheating on you? How can you forgive your husband or wife who has been ignoring you and has been doing all kinds of terrible things that have been hurting your feelings, and you've done everything you can to make that husband or wife to love you, and that person has been ignoring you or just continuing that? It's not possible. It's not human. It is humanly impossible to love. And yet when that supernatural love of God comes, things change. And if God does not change your circumstances, I've said this so many times, and if God does not change your circumstances, He will help you deal with the circumstances. When the love of God comes in our hearts, it should then flow through us to others. Yes, the Holy Bible, the message of the Holy Bible is God's great love story. And yes, we must spread the good news of God's love to others. And the only way I can love others is if when I know what love is. And the only time, the only way I can spread this good news of love is when I let that love come into my life and heart, and then because of that love in me, I'll be able to love others. Now, does that mean that I will tolerate everything? Does that mean that I'll compromise my faith? Does that mean that I will say to my children, okay, because I love you so much, go ahead and do drugs? Or say to my husband, okay, go ahead and cheat on me? Or to my wife, does that mean that you can insult me and you can embarrass me in front of others? No, it does not mean that. It means that even though this is happening, you are asking God to help you deal with that situation. And God will choose His own method to be able to enable you to deal with that. Now, if I were here and say, now when that happens, do this, do that, will never work. Because these are my words. These would be my opinion. It would be my opinion. And yet, when you ask God to help you deal with that situation, and He comes with the answer and method, then it will work. Yes, the whole Bible is about love. No matter how well I or you speak, your words are weak and empty without love. The pastor who gets up and preaches the best possible message and has no love for the people is doing nothing, the Bible says. It says empty words. No matter how you explain things, your words are worthless without love. You may be the best professor. You may be the best theologian. You may be the person who understands the Bible better than anyone else. And yet, if there is no love, if you're not doing it because you love the person or because you love the people, then you're doing nothing. No matter how sincere you are, you will fail without love. You may be very sincere in disliking someone. You may be very sincere in defending your doctrine. You may be very sincere in saying the only doctrine is mine. And you may be very sincere in getting angry at someone because he has done something or she has done something. And yet, if there is no love, that sincerity will only destroy the family and destroy you also. Spiritual gifts without love are just nothing. Today people are looking for signs and wonders. Today people are going to a place where the singing will be very loud and hands will be raised, or they may go to a church where they will humble themselves and come on their knees, or they will go to a place where I don't know what, just to get that spiritual high and that spiritual satisfaction, to feel that they are doing okay, that they are Christians now, because of this. And yet, if there is no love, if they're not doing it, and if they don't experience the love of Christ, it's all waste. Sacrifices without love are just empty practices, the Bible says. Just empty practices. Love never fails and will never get obsolete. But only full surrender to our holy God produces the love in us. The problem again is, one of the problems is that our love is so conditional. I love this sister, I love that young man because they are well dressed and they are so polite. And yet when someone else comes in that is not well dressed and he looks sort of, you know, not very pleasant, I already know who I love the most. And yet Jesus went and touched the leper. And he touched, or at least talked to the prostitute. And then he went and talked to the Samaritan woman who was practicing whatever. And then the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes were angry at him because he was spending time with sinners. And Jesus said, I came not for those who are well. And there wasn't one person that was. The Bible says God looked and searched to find how many men in Jerusalem? One. And did he find him? No. So there is not one holy person on this earth until the Holy Spirit comes in, until we look up to God like Melchizedek. And then the Holy Spirit comes and changes us. God said, be holy because I am holy. In Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. Be holy because I'm holy. And people think that being holy, when the Bible says be holy because I'm holy, is something in the New Testament or Jesus said. But that is from the beginning. From the beginning. God has done everything He could. He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross. What else could He do? A mother or a father or parents do everything they can for their children. And there comes a moment that they say, there is nothing else left. What else can I do? Well, that's how God feels. Every time that He looks at us and we still complain, we still put other gods before Him. We still feel that my hockey game or this game. And you know what? Some people get angry at me when I say this, but I tell you what. When you are following Christ, Christ will help you enjoy your sports. God will help you enjoy your food. God will help you enjoy your relationship with your wife, your husband, your children. God will help you enjoy everything around you if you put Him first. But if you put first your other activities, then even the best will not give you satisfaction, will not satisfy you. Billy Graham said, the fact that God is love does not mean that everything is sweet, beautiful, and happy. And that God's love could not possibly allow a punishment for sin. God's holiness demands that all sin be punished. But God's love provided a plan of redemption and salvation for sinful people. God's love provided the cross of Jesus Christ by which we have forgiveness and cleansing. Dear friends, when you don't feel loved, consider the cross. The cross proves God's love for us, for you and me. His love is the cross when we look at the cross. And as God loves us the way we were and are, we must love people as they are. Very difficult and yet possible when Christ is in the process. When Christ is in the process of making peace with someone, then it will be possible. But if Christ, if God is not in the process, will never be possible to make peace. May God help us be filled with His love so we can love others.